Reading financial policy. Father, quieten our hearts. Give us ears to hear and speak to us at this time. Speak to us through your word and speak to us through Stephen as he unpacks your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Pam, I'm expecting big things from you. I can still remember last time you read for us. It was a hilarious misread.
It was a real hoot. I don't think there's anything in there comparable today, so I can't bring you a little humour today. I'm sorry, folks. That was quite something.
I'll leave them with you. That was quite something.
Okay, thank you, Dean. We've got two readings this morning. The first one's from Isaiah, and it's chapter 9. And it's on page 683. So chapter 9, page 683. And we're going to be reading from verses 1 to 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land at Zebulun and the land at Naphtali. But in the future, he will honour Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. We're then going over to Luke, chapter 2, on page 1014. Chapter 2. We're going to be reading verses 8 through to verse 20. Okay, so page 1014. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told.
Okay. Let me just open in prayer. Dear Lord, we pray that you would speak to us today. Help us to know what you are saying to us. And help us to hear clearly the good news of what it means for Jesus to be coming into the world on the first Christmas day and how we should respond to his message. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want you to think just for a moment about a day that has changed your life forever. A day. It could be the last day of school. Just recently, people found out their HSC results. Perhaps that was a day that changed your life forever. It's all kinds of days. Maybe you might talk to the person next to you. What's a day that changed your life? Talk to someone around you. See if you can find out a day where something big happened. Chuck into the mix. Down there.
My friend Peter says it's when you started to read the Bible.
How good is that? Can I tell you a story from prison? One of my prison chaplains told me a story about... Did you see that as a kind of bad segue? I'm sorry. One of my prison chaplains was telling me one of the guys he'd been ministering to wanted to read the Bible, but he's illiterate. And he asked his cellmate, would he mind reading passages of the Bible to him? And the guy said to the chaplain, look, I agreed to do it, but I didn't want to be the kind of whole cliche kind of, oh, I'm going to read the Bible and I'm now going to be going to Christian myself thing, but that's exactly what happened. I started reading the Bible to my cellmate and I got converted in the process. So there we go.
Okay, this is a day that changed the world. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born. He is Christ the Lord. I bring you good news of great joy for all people today. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born. He is Christ the Lord. Who's got a coin in their pocket or in their purse? Anyone got one? Assuming it's a recently minted coin. Some of you might have a 2019 coin. 2019 years after what? This day. Just leaving aside a moment the discrepancies between Julian and the the other calendar and looking at another, and Jesus was probably born a couple of years BC. But leaving that to one side, this is the day that divides our calendar in two. This is the day that
has changed our world forever. There's a few famous days. I'm going to run through a couple others. Now, you might have mentioned the day you fell in love, the day you were married, the day you first had a baby. No one said that one, actually. Your first child was born. There's muttering going on there.
I was born after 36-hour labour. The day before Mother's Day, I never had to give my mother a Mother's Day present. I was a Mother's Day present. I was born on June's Anzac Day and born on the 13th of May. And I can show you last night wanting to see my instrumental forceps mark in my eye here. So at the end of my bed at the hospital, it said Religion Methodist, and they had big stamps saying Instrumental Methodist, which my father always thought was very.
But they thought I had a little bit of brain damage from the forceps and everything, so I really should be much cleverer than I really am. But anyway, there we are. So there we go. How did I get onto that? Oh, that's right. The day you were born. Okay. Here's some famous days. The end of the war was a famous day when people danced in the streets in Sydney when the war was finished, and all around the world. Landing on the moon, that's a pretty famous day, which was celebrated this year, 50th anniversary of landing on the moon. President Nixon said at the time, "This is the most important day in history." Billy Graham immediately said, "Second most important day in history." Okay? For obvious reasons. That's a sad day. September 11 made a very big difference in our world that day. Anybody know the story of the original marathon? The original marathon in Greece was not a fun run. Someone ran 42 kilometres for a reason. They ran to tell the Greek leaders that the Persians had been defeated. They ran with the good news that the victory had been won. We were no longer slaves, but we were free. The end of the Persian Empire and the rise of the Greek Empire. And that was the original marathon. It was a 42-kilometre run that someone ran to tell the good news that we had won. We had won. But we're thinking today particularly of this day. I bring you good news of great joy that'll be to all people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born. He is Christ the Lord. Now the good news, and sometimes translations of the Bible say, the gospel that comes to us is not first and foremost a religious word, it's a military word, a little bit like that example of the first, you know, the good news that one empire had defeated another. It's that kind of thing. It was a message that somebody had triumphed. It meant history in the making, a life-shaping news, not just little kind of daily news. It was important news. Now, at this time of the year, there are lots of carol services going on. Some of them are terrific and I love listening to them. Occasionally, I get really irritated by watching some of the ones on the TV. I don't know if you get that experience. I know it's the last 5 minutes of carols at the Domain last night, but one year I remember watching carols on TV from one of the channels, either Channel 7 or Channel 9, and I kept getting so irritated that Santa had such centre stage and Jesus seemed to have kind of been completely lost kind of thing. And the message of Santa, I kept thinking, is the complete opposite of the gospel. You better watch out. You better not cry. Santa Claus is coming. When my mother had more desperate moments in her child rearing, she would say to us about this time of the year, clearly school had broken up and the kids were driving her crazy, she'd say, Santa's watching you. If you're too naughty, you may not be many presents. You know, that frustrated parents all over the country are saying this to their children this week, just the school's broken up the drive. And is that right? Is Santa's keeping a score on how good you've been? Last year, the NRMA even had a driving campaign for this time of the year saying, Don't drive naughty, drive nice.
No, which one are you? Are you the naughty or are you the nice?
And I want to say that the Christian message is kind of like the complete opposite to almost every other religion on the planet. Almost every other religion on the planet, including Santa, says, be good. Be good. Drive nice.
Be good. Whereas the Christian message is good news. See how different that is? So much of the religions of the world say, try a bit harder, work a bit longer, go on a pilgrimage, don't eat that food, eat this food. Have some of you had the opportunity to travel to other parts of the world if you understand anything about Buddhism or Hinduism or Islam? There are certain places you have to go to worship, to earn merit. You have to step into the temple using one foot and not the other foot. I can never remember which one it is, but you have to take your shoes off. And if a Buddhist temple, you can only walk around the temple in one direction. Again, I can't remember which way it is, if it's clockwise or anti-clockwise, but it's critically important. If you do it the other way, it's not right. You've got to do it the right way. You've got to earn your points. Whereas the Christian message is, it's been done by the Lord Jesus. It's not do, it's done.
It's a fundamental difference, isn't it? Do you want to spell religion? It's spelled
with two letters, D-O. That's religion. Whereas Christianity is spelled with four letters, D-O-N-E. It's done by Jesus. Come into the world and what he's done for us.
It's a fundamental difference between Christianity and almost every other religion on the planet. And it's also about the fact that we couldn't help ourselves.
God had to send Jesus into the world. We needed his help. Self-help was not enough. I occasionally go into bookshops in shopping centres, and the religious books are actually grouped together with the self-help books. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. And I also find that extremely irritating. Because Christianity is not about self-help. It's about God coming to the rescue for us. Because self-help was never enough.
Self-help was never enough. Jesus didn't come for good children. He came for naughty adults, okay?
That's who he came for.
In fact, Jesus was challenged even while he was here, wasn't he? The religious leader said, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And he answered, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come for the righteous, but for sinners for repentance. Jesus' message is good news, not be good. Jesus' message is joy, not fear. It's not better watch out. So Jesus comes with a different message than so often we hear in our culture. If what we needed was something different to a saviour, then that's what God would have sent. I bring you good news of great joy. A Saviour has been born to you. If our biggest need was education, God would have sent a teacher. Now, let me say, I come from a family which has a lot of teachers in the family. I'm a big fan of teachers. I'm not against teachers, okay? I love teachers, and if you're thinking about a career in teaching or you are a teacher, that is about one of the best jobs you can do, in my opinion. But education alone will not change our world. It's important, but it's insufficient. Sometimes people think education is all that's required. If you're sold out to the values of the Enlightenment, you actually think that all you need is education to change everything,
the media from time to time. They'll say, children are taking more drugs, let's send an education pact to the schools and that'll fix it. You hear this all the time, don't you? There is terrible problems with domestic violence, so the poor old teachers in the schools are going to run another course against domestic violence. You hear it all the time. More education will fix it, won't it? Guess what, folks? It doesn't fix it. Can I use a small example? I'm sure this doesn't happen at church, but all the young people at St. Luke's Miranda, where I was the minister, have had endless talks at school on recycling. At the end of church every night, throw all the recyclables in the other bin with all the chaos. And I think these poor teachers must be doing, I'm a bit of a recycling Nazi, get my little plastic gloves on at the end of church, pull all the aluminium cans out of the rubbish and put them in the recycling. They've done all these lessons at school, right through primary school and high school, and recycling, and then what are they doing in church?
Education alone does not lead to change. If only it did. If only it did. There's a true story. In the 1970s, in America, when drug taking just started to become a big deal amongst young people in the States, the government funded an information book on drugs in an effort to reduce people getting them to LSD and all the stuff that was just coming out of that stage. Drug taking in the US went up after the booklet was released. That actually made young people more aware of some of the drugs they weren't even aware of and their effects. It actually had a complete reverse effect.
Education alone will not change our culture. Maybe we need a healer. Maybe medicine is our greatest need and we need a healer.
Now, by the way, Jesus was both these things, wasn't he? He was a teacher. He was a healer. But he came to do more than that.
Folks, we are in the need of a lot of healing, aren't we? I don't need to tell you that in our culture at the moment,
mental health is a huge problem, isn't it? It seems to be getting bigger all the time. How do we address it? Why is it getting more common? What do we need to do?
What about cancer?
I just feel I'm hearing more every year that more of my friends are getting cancer. Brain cancer. I've been, and our minister in Sydney was preaching this year, half after a sermon, and just lost his train of thought. Went to the hospital, few tests, inoperable brain cancer. Probably has less than a year to live.
How do we address these things? Now I'm going to bring up a topic that's kind of close to my heart or particularly close to my belly.
Obesity. Now it's no laughing matter. Australians are getting plumper all the time. Watch old movies and see how much skinnier everybody looked in them. My personal trainer, you might not think I have a personal trainer. My personal trainer told me half of all weight gain happens in December. That's scary, isn't it? Okay. All people planning to go on a cruise, put your hand up if you're going on a cruise anytime soon. Okay. The average weight gain on cruises is half a kilogram a day. So if you're on a 2-week cruise, that's 7 kilograms. That's the average, okay?
That's scary, isn't it?
It's reached a point in Australia now where this generation of children may not live as much as their parents because of these sort of reasons. That'll be the first time that's happened.
Maybe we need a healer.
Maybe that's what we most need. But although Jesus is both teacher and healer, he came as a saviour.
Came as a saviour. We most of all need a saviour because our situation was beyond self-help. Education and medicine are not enough. We need a saviour. And the meaning of Christmas for all of us here is that you and I are more sinful
than we have ever imagined. But God is more loving than we ever could have hoped. And he sent the Saviour
to save us from our sins. Now, one of my jobs as a minister is preparing people for baptism.
And sometimes parents are bringing a child to be baptized. And sometimes those parents are regular members of the church, sometimes on the fringe of the church, some of their kids baptized. And I can't tell you how many lounge rooms I've been in over the years trying to describe to people the importance of washing away sins. Because that's what it says in the baptism service. And most Australians who aren't regular church goers don't get it. They don't get it. You go to someone's house and say, the baptism services is symbolic. The water is a symbol of washing away your sins and washing away the sins of your child. That's what we're praying for in the service. And they know it. But they don't actually get it. Because most Australians think, and most of your relatives and friends you're going to meet with at Christmas who aren't regular churchgoers think, that they're basically good deep down inside. But the Bible says we're sinful and fallen deep down inside. That's a fundamental difference, isn't it? A fundamental difference. Left to our own devices, we tend towards sin. We're like the shopping trolley at the shops. You know, you push us straight, and what do? That's what our fallen hearts are like. We're prone to veering off. That's what our hearts are like. But most of your friends and relatives who aren't committed Christians don't get it. In fact, even when you first come to church, and a couple of people talked about when they first came to church, Susie told me people have come to her Bible study, but just early on in their church life, and they say, you guys are always banging on about sin, aren't you? Messing your sins all the time. They have an obsession about sin or something. Because you're coming out of a culture that is in denial about sin. That keeps saying we're all good. Well, we know there's a few people who are really bad. There's Nazis. And we got rid of most of those in the Second World War. There's pedophiles. And we put them in jail. Oh, we're catching as many as we can. But outside of that, everyone else is basically good. And he keeps saying, it's illogical. How do you fill the news every night if everyone's basically good? How do you do that? I once visited a couple with one of their baby baptized who are both police. The husband and wife are both police persons. And I said to them, the Bible says, we're all sinners. And without hesitation, I said, ain't that the truth? Next point. No need for further discussion or apologetics. Job done. If you're a police person, spent all your days dealing with people's muck, you didn't need convincing that people were sinners. You see it every minute or every working day. But most of your friends are in denial about their own sin and the sin of the culture around them. But that's why God sent a Saviour.
That's why God sent Jesus. That we needed a Saviour. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. He is Christ the Lord. Well, let's also just think about how we respond to this Saviour. How do we respond to this Saviour?
I was looking at my son's phone yesterday and I was about to touch it. He said, "Dad, touch that, Dad, you nearly liked something on my phone." And that would have been terrible. I didn't mean to like that person's post and I was just trying to move it, you know. Like, sometimes, this time of year, I'm lacking a bit of technical aptitude. Occasionally, I uninstall things on my phone. I didn't mean to uninstall them. Fortunately, my son comes over and he can reinstall the boy. Responding to Jesus has to be a wholehearted response, doesn't it? You can't just say, I like that. And that's insufficient, isn't it?
Like won't do. You have to decide, am I going to reject this message or accept this message? Jesus coming into the world is too big to treat lightly. One Christian author talked about the incarnation, Jesus becoming a man, God coming to earth, and he put it like this. How can you live with the terrifying thought that a hurricane has become a human? That a fire has become flesh? That life itself became life and walked in our midst? Christianity means that or it means nothing. That's the message of Christmas, isn't it? We sing it in our parables. Hail the incarnate deity. God has become one of us. Jesus has become man. The baby born at Bethlehem is God with us.
And if that's true, you've got a couple of choices, haven't you? C.S. Lewis put it like this. Jesus is either liar, lunatic, or Lord. You can't just see him as a teacher anymore.
If Jesus claimed to be God come among us, he's either a con man who's making it up, he's deluded, might be a bit crazy, we should put him in a mental health institution, or he's the real McCoy. He really is what he claims to be. He's the Lord. You can't treat Jesus coming into the world lightly. He's one of those things to think.
Is he the genuine article, or is he crazy, or trying to pull the wool over our eyes? I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. There is nothing you can do to make God love you more than he already does. And there's nothing you can do to make God love you less than he already does.
He loves us, even with our imperfections. He sent his son into the world to deal with our sin.
So, on this day, as we remember that day that changed the world when Jesus came into the world, every Christmas day, we should remember the day that changed the world when Jesus came into the world. And because of that day, the world will never be the same again. The Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And that is something to sing about, isn't it? Let me finish by reminding you what the shepherds did after they heard that Jesus had come into the world. And the angels had sung that song to them. What did the shepherds do? Were they filled with fear? They were initially. But they were filled with joy, weren't they? They were filled with joy. They check it out. They were told, go to Bethlehem. They're up in the hills around the city or the village. Go into Bethlehem and see this child laid in a manger. And they did. They did. They check it out. The other thing they do is tell others about it. Remind yourself, by the way, who were the shepherds? Were they the members of the Bethlehem Chamber of Commerce? Were they up? Standing citizens of the city. Do you remember who the shepherds were in the first century? They were kind of like the fruit pickers of the first century. They're seasonal workers. In lambing season, they were shepherds. At other times of the year, they were picking fruit. They were like the backpackers of the first century. They were kind of no fixed address kind of people. They weren't allowed to give evidence in court because they kept moving. And this is the people that God chose as the first witnesses. The other thing that shows the first witness of Jesus' resurrection was another group who also couldn't give evidence to the court in the first century. You know who that is? Women. This is God's sense of humor, isn't it? The shepherds. And they tell others about Jesus and they praise God.
Do not be afraid. I bring the good news of great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born for you. He is Christ the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you for sending Jesus into the world that has changed, that day has changed the world forever. And we thank you for that in his name. Amen.